ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Will be at home among the wise. You see? Unlike the other one that is avoiding the wise. Whoever eats life-giving correction will be what? At home. He will be comfortable among the wise. But those who disregard discipline, they despise themselves. But the one who eats correction gains understanding. Verse 33. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord. I mean, that's another phrase from Proverbs that must never leave you for the rest of your life from reading this month through. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Let's read chapter 17, verse 10. A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes, a fool. Hey. A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes, a fool. In other words, if you put a fool here and you put a discerning person here, all you need to do to the discerning person is to use your mouth. But for the fool, give him 100 strokes. He doesn't understand what you're talking about. That reminds me of secondary school days when the bad boys, and they bring them to assembly. They've done another bad thing. You see, but they have become stereotyped or characterized as bad boys. And when they have become big bad boys, one of the things that you have to be able to do is, when they are going to give you the strokes of the cane, you just stand as if. You say what? You chest it. After you go and nurse the thing, though. But unfortunately, some person sets himself in that mode. Let's go and show them again. It was 6 the other time. This one is 12. Oh yeah, let's go. Scripture says, for the discerning, all you need is a word of rebuke. It is the fool that you are flogging 100 times and he is still not taking correction. Proverbs 17, verse 10. Verse 12 also says this. Better to meet a bear robbed of a corpse, than a fool bent on folly. Better to meet a bear robbed of a corpse than a fool bent on folly. You see, scripture was saying somewhere that the companion of the wise will be wise and the companion of fools will be destroyed. This is why not only must you ensure that Proverbs 1:10 doesn't leave you, if sinners entice you, don't go with them. This scripture is saying it is better to meet a bear who has been robbed of young, of her babies, cubs, than to meet a fool, than a fool. So this one, he actually knows he's a fool and is bent on that way. Because if you read Proverbs chapter 1, and that's that paragraph about if sinners entice you, if they say to you, come, let us waylay, they knew what they were doing. It was deliberate, it was brazen. You know, the guy doesn't send you. He said, we can't do this. We can't do what? What is, everybody is doing it. Brazen, straight in your face. Scripture says it is better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs. Now, when I read this, it occurred to me that many of us may not know, may not be able to relate to what it means for to meet a bear robbed of her cubs. A bear robbed of her cubs. Because we don't have bears in this part of the world. And I'm not sure there's any hunter here anyway. Or maybe you work in the forest reserve or something and you may have had a chance to meet a bear. I was going to read this story, but time is really running very fast. I'll just paraphrase it. It's a life story of somebody who actually met a bear who was robbed of a cub and what happened to him. But don't forget the logic of the story, the lesson. It's better to meet a bear who has had his children stolen than to meet a fool bent on folly. You know what happened to this in this story? There were two hunters who went hunting. And when they got into the field, they decided to go separate ways. So one went one way, one went the other way. Not quite sometime later, the one, let's say Mr. A, heard gunshots. They both had guns. So he heard three gunshots. He just thought, okay, the guy's already getting some game. So he continued. Then not quite some minutes, he heard another set of gunshots. So he thought, that's abnormal. That's a lot of gunshots in a short period of time. So he stopped and went tracing his friend. When he saw him, his friend was, so let me read a little. I think that will make the story clearer. Immediately, he ran back in the direction of the gunshots. Within a few minutes, he came across his friend. His hat was gone. His coat was torn off, and his trousers were rent or torn. Blood poured from his head and neck, and he gripped his left arm in his crimson right hand, presenting a horrible sight. As he saw his friend approaching, he called, "Water, water." As he tried to drink the water, part of the water ran out through a gash in his cheek. He said to his friend, "I'm in trouble. I have had a fight with a bear." What happened? This is what happened to him. When he went that way, he came upon a young cub, a young bear. He did not realize that it was only a young of a bear. It was a cub because it was already growing big. So in his excitement, he just shot the cub. Now, he laid his gun aside, bending over the young bear, when suddenly, not more than 60 feet behind him, he heard a cry of anger as the grief-stricken and enraged mother rushed forward to avenge the death of her offspring. So what happened was the mother and the cub were actually together, but like some distance apart. He only saw the young cub and shot it. And thinking that, wow, what a catch. Put his gun, trying to carry, he heard the mother's cry rushing at him. Turning with superhuman presence of mind, he took his rifle again and fired two shots into the bear. Rapidly removing his last cartridge, he put it in the rifle and shot a third time into the onrushing bear. Swift and sure as were the bullets, the bear continued to charge. Long story short, the bear was the one that damaged him the way he was damaged before the bear fell down dead. Because of the three bullets that it had received. Bible says it is better to meet that kind of bear than to meet a fool bent on folly. That sounds very drastic. But this is the encouragement for you and I to ensure we don't walk the path of folly. Especially because when sinners entice you, you need to make sure you don't consent. You know, for those of us here, we are not wired to be foolish people. We are not trained or taught. The kind of spirit we have is not such that pushes you to being scornful of instruction. But you need to be mindful of the fact that there are people out there who don't have the kind of DNA that you have, who to do evil for is, because it's a big deal, it's all okay. That is why the admonition of staying or refusing the enticement of the wicked, of the foolish, must not be taken lightly. And I want to say, especially the brazen ones, the ones who don't give a hoot, who don't care whether you think they are okay or they are not okay. The ones who don't care whether, in fact, they themselves know that what they are doing is not good. Especially those ones. Because those ones can go to any length just to take you along into the kind of stuff that they are into. You see, it is better to meet a bear who has lost his young than to meet that kind of person. I pray you will not meet a fool bent on folly, much less a bear who has lost his young. Hallelujah. As we begin to round up this morning, let me just touch briefly on the issue of wine. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Proverbs 20, verse 1. So, Pastor, don't go there. This pastor will go there. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Let's read that in several translations. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. That is NIV, NCV. Where wine and beer make people loud and uncontrolled. Is it true? Is it true? You know, I confessed earlier. I don't drink. So, I can only believe it because the Bible says so. So, those of you who know, or because you know people who know, is it true that wine and beer make people loud and uncontrolled? Yes. Who used to drink? So you can speak from experience. I'm like, okay. Yes. So Deji, it's true that wine and beer makes. He raised his hand. No, it's not true. It has to do with your personality. Once they drink, they become quiet. Were they quiet before they drank? Deji, were they quiet before they drank? Before they drank, were they quiet? I didn't hear what he said. He says, wine, I hope you are not still drinking. Deji, I hope you are not still drinking. Where is Tyrat? Is he still drinking? You are covering your face. Wine and beer make people loud and uncontrolled. It is not wise to get drunk on them. You see, I want to say this very quickly. Somebody says, yeah, but there's a, you can drink a little. I mean, even the Bible says, use a little wine for your stomach's sake. Is something wrong with your stomach? Something was wrong with Timothy's stomach. That's why they told him to use something, to, because wine can be medicinal. But, so I heard somebody preferring this argument that, yeah, you can always drink in a measure that you don't get drunk. And I was reading up an article on social drinking that was actually saying how much drink you can have that keeps you safe, you know. But I'm just bothered a little when I read further in scriptures and I see some other things that scripture has to say. So let's just see a little more of what the Bible says about wine. Proverbs 21, verse 17. I'm actually happy that that translation includes beer. You know, so all covered. Okay? Proverbs 21, verse 17. Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. Can we have that in another translation? Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and perfume will never be rich. We should go back. To which one? To the olive oil. So, there's a catch there. You see, the adulterous woman, the brazenly adulterous woman, must have as part of her armory, olive oil. Olive oil is an ingredient in making perfume. Okay? Oils are very, very critical in making perfumes. So, because I want to point out quickly, see, reading this Proverbs this season, there are two things, two W's, that stand out in Proverbs, women and wine. You need to be in the spirit always where women and wine are concerned. And my understanding from the position that Proverbs espouses is stay off them. Don't say you want to go and... She says she has laid her bed. What is my business when she laid her bed? Say you want to go and see. Was it satin bedsheet? Was it... What's your business? She said, her husband has gone. What, who asked you story? Now, not only that, don't even go away. That what... So this, the corollary with wine, and we'll read that in a second. Said, don't look at wine when it is red. Okay, let's just read it so that it's not pastor saying it. Proverbs 23, 29 to 35. It says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? And who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? You appear in office tomorrow. They see bandage on your head. What happened? I fell in the bedroom. You cannot tell them the truth. He says here, 23:29. Okay. Those who linger, so he's asking the question, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? What will I do that you see me tomorrow with my eyes bloodshot? Apollo. Yes, Apollo. If you walk through the night, if you don't sleep, if you did legitimate walk through the night, you may have bloodshot eyes. But otherwise, who is going to... You see them the next morning, their eyes are red, Kumba, like they had Apollo. Conjunctivitis. Who? He says, those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Sounds like science student, Abby. they go to sample bowls of mixed wine. You know, I go out with some of my guys at times. And so the one comes to the other one and says, you are drinking NSC. See. Power house, okay. Long. We are talking about NSC, you are talking about power house. So he brings, what now? Yeah? Is. I'm just saying. You know, then he brings another one and said, I tried this. This is very good. And I'm busy watching, like, Then he thought, then the lady comes and says, guys, I have what? Eh? Tell me now. We don't know. Some people here know. I'm just saying. He says, look, the people that such happen to are the ones who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. He says, do not gaze at wine when it is red. When it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. And I hear it really goes down smoothly. You know, if you are sure of yourself, if you are sure you can manage yourself, it's really good to go out at times and see how some of these things play out. It goes down smoothly. One such outing, one guy was telling the story of how they went out and three of them were drunk. And it was time to go home. So the guy started the car. I put the car in reverse. And of course, ran into something. And then the second one, the one that was giving the report, said, it now occurred to him that, what did you just do just now? You just ran into something. Then that one said to him, did I run into anything? He said, how they got home, they can't explain. And I remember this other story a former boss told me. He said, look, one of the reasons why he can't ever stop thanking God, but he recalls his earlier days, how they would go for a party in Port Harcourt, and all of them are stone drunk, and they will pick up the car in the middle of the night, heading back to Warri. And suddenly, a car coming just shines light. So you just say, Igbo! that means the guy will just swing the car any direction. Well, they said, I don't really know, but he says, in the end, that thing that went down smoothly, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. He says, your eyes will see strange sights. Your mind will imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas. Lying on top of the rigging. Is there a more contemporary version there? Because all this slang... No, we don't know what rigging is now. Let's see what message says. Maybe that can give us... And we'll just close there. Do you really prefer seeing double? With your speech all slurred, reeling and seasick, drunk as a sailor. They eat me, you say, but it didn't hurt. Hallelujah. It says, they beat me, but I didn't feel it. When will I wake up so I can find another drink? My submission this morning, Lighthouse. Proverbs admonishes, as far as I understand the scriptures, that we stay away from women if they are not your wife, stay away from men if they are not your husband. And I think it also says the same thing about wine. And that can also be beer and alcoholic drinks. It says, who has woes, who has sorrows, who has strife, who has complaints, who has needless bruises, who has bloodshot eyes. They are the ones who linger over wine, who do experiments. They are the ones who look at wine when it is red, when it is sparkling in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. But be careful. It says, in the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. I know that it's very common when you want to influence somebody's thinking to give them some wine. Particularly, you see, and that's where you must not allow folly to overtake you. You know, you don't drink. You don't drink. Don't start trying to behave like people who drink. Because like they're just telling us, maybe it's not true. Maybe some people, and really, I'm amazed. You're at a function, and between two people, they can finish a bottle of wine. Not red wine, no. In one sitting. But of course, that's where I would disagree with you, because the way they talk, it changes. You know, they suddenly have something to say about what everybody is saying. They don't realize that voice has gone a notch or two higher than when they first came in. And all those kind of stuff. But I'm amazed that between two people, you can finish a whole bottle. How can I try to also help them with a cup? I don't know what's going to happen to me. And I don't want to wake up saying they beat me, they hurt me. How do they beat you and don't hurt you? It will hurt you. So in the end, it's like a snake bite. I pray that wisdom will be your friend. Actually, will be your companion through your journey in life. Because that is the offer that wisdom makes. I pray that you will not meet a fool bent on folly. More so, you will not give in to the enticement of sinners. Especially, I don't know, I just, that word is just ringing in my heart here. The brazen one. The one who doesn't give a hoot whether, say, you are married and so. I'm not saying I want to be your wife now. Just sleep with me. I'm not asking to be your wife. I like you. Look at you. You look good. Especially the brazen ones, because there are people out there who are like that. And I say, like I said the last time, you know, people like that, you don't say, I'm a boss. I will show I'm a boss. You're not a boss. So in that matter, you're not a boss. Quickly, maybe you will be in the category of run for your life. Quickly find your way away from such a person. Or the type that tells you, we can take the money. You know, there's a way we normally do it. We just put it in this account for a couple of months. We won't touch it, we'll fix it. And then he knows the way. Apparently, he knows the way. And he makes it all look so, you know, easy. And, sir, scripture says, run from such. Hallelujah. Can we bow down our heads as we pray this morning? Lord, all over again, I embrace wisdom. I receive the help, the instruction of wisdom, such that my journey through life ends up in prosperity, ends up in godliness. Hallelujah.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,